Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by our friends at SoberLink. SoberLink is this amazing app and device that is all about accountability. And as you know, listening to our show, Lisa and I are all about accountability.
To each other. And SoberLink is a great tool for anybody who wants to add sort of a next layer of accountability to their sobriety.
Absolutely. So head to our show notes to learn more about SoberLink or head to SoberLink.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It is Lisa here with
Pawnee.
And we are over the moon about this episode because Tawny has some amazing news and we're going to talk about it. Tawny?
Yes, I'm so excited. Lisa, thank you for that fabulous intro. Yes, I got a book deal.
Woo!
I got a freaking book deal, Lisa. Can you believe it?
You are, yes, you're an author. That's it. You have an ISBN number coming. You've got the whole thing. You were in Publishers, Marketplace, everything. Tell us all.
Yes.
I can't hear it enough times. So just tell us about your upcoming book.
Well, Lisa has been, you know, just, I'm speaking about you in third person.
As if I'm not here.
As if you're not here. Yeah. So I'm speaking to the listeners directly. Lisa has just really been instrumental in, you've been holding my hand through this since, you know, like since you lived in New York City and we would meet at, was it Panera?
Oh my God.
And
we used to meet at that Pan Quotidian, didn't we?
Yes. Yes, we would meet there and you gave me.
We were children.
We were so young and naive back then.
I know.
You know, but at this point, I was pretty new to like the publishing world. Your book had been out for a couple years and you took me under your wing.
Aww.
And you've read probably every iteration of this book proposal that I sold. So
which is amazing.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And was my honor.
So, yeah, I just wanted to, the reason that I'm, you know, speaking to that is that just like in sobriety, how you need a community, you also need like creative cheerleaders and partners and people holding your hand sometimes to keep you going. Cause it's, if I was just working on this book, it, you know, in a vacuum, tunnel vision, not talking to anyone about it, I don't know that I would have been able to get a book deal. You know, like I'm just really speaking to the power of community here.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I mean, look, this is what we do. It's so exciting for me because like to me, I, you know, when my book came out, it was, you know, I felt like this was that it was kind of the book that I wish I had had when I was going through everything. And I feel like your book is so much the book that also I wish I would have had. And I think so many, it's going to help so many people. Tell us about it.
Yes. So my book is called Dry Humping.
Best title ever.
A booze-free guide to sex, dating, and relationships. So as Lisa knows and listeners know, I'm very obsessed with the topic of sober sex, dating, and relationships, because like Lisa just said, I didn't know what the hell I was doing in early sobriety and there weren't a ton of resources. So this is the book that newly sober 29-year-old me needed. And I still need today, you know, I'm still learning as I'm writing this book, as I'm doing research and interviewing people, I'm still learning so much about this topic.
It is a topic I think that has evolved from, you know, I think I certainly had no idea like what to do, because I think the point that you make, well, one of the many points that you make that is so important is that, you know, it's not just about sober sex. It's about being, you know, just making, you don't have to be sober, you don't have to be in recovery. It's for basically like approaching romantic relationships and dating and sex, like without the crutch of alcohol.
Absolutely. And it's that, like, while the title is very cheeky, because you know that's my writing style, literally cheeky. The book is about the importance of dating yourself. It's about interpersonal relationships, romantic relationships, whether you're dating, whether you're in a long-term relationship. And, I was writing this book as a memoir from personal experience, like the sober sex and dating through my story. But the book that it's evolved into more of a journalistic, story, you know, like I pulled myself out of the story and realized I'm very obsessed with the topic of alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships. That's when the book really came together for me. And obviously I put some of my own personal anecdotes in the book, but it's more journalistic. It's very much Absolutely. Research at data and interview based, where I'm talking to people from all across the, you know, sober, sober curious, people that do dry months, people that have been sober for 50 years, single, polyamorous, queer, asexual. Like, I mean, I want to tackle this conversation of people thinking we need liquid courage to have fun on a date or be adventurous in the bedroom. I'm really turning that trope on its head and examining the role society played in us thinking that and how that shows up in our personal lives.
It's such a great, I love everything about it, but the idea that it is really, like, when you listen to what you just described that the book is, it makes me think, how is that book not out there? And that book needs to be out there. Like, that's a book that should be on the bookshelf.
And September of 2023, Lisa, it will be.
That's right. That's right. So tell me, I mean, I think you and I have talked so much about, you know, the writing process and what it's like to try and express yourself and be sober while we do all these things. And, you know, one of the things that can happen in sobriety, I think, and then, you know, that I wrestled with at a certain point was like, oh my gosh, be careful what you wish for, because now you got it. Like, how is it affected, you know, the idea of working towards getting a book deal and all the time that you spent on the proposal, which was so thorough, and just, you know, if anybody out there is thinking about doing a book proposal, it is a very involved process. How does it feel? Like, how does it now feel to have set this goal for yourself years ago and to reach it?
Well, before I answer that, I want to just briefly explain what a book proposal is for anyone listening and doesn't really know what we're talking about.
Oh, good point.
A book proposal is, I like to think of it as it's a business plan. It's something that nonfiction writers write to describe the book that they want to write. Whereas fiction is, a novelist writes the book and then they get the book deal, hopefully. Nonfiction, we write a proposal and then we say, here's our platform, these are the people we know, here's my marketing idea, here's podcast analytics, here's the target audience, you know, like, it's a business plan plus a couple sample chapters of the actual book. So all, like Lisa said, that it's an arduous process to compile all of that. My proposal was 70 pages, and it took a lot of time and energy to get that together. To answer your question,
yeah,
it feels, you know, it changes every day. I think the way I feel changes every day. Sometimes it's very imposter syndrome of like, holy shit, like someone's really paying me to write about this. And then the other part, like when I'm really deep in the research and I'm like I was texting you the other day about something and I'm realizing the questions that I want answers to are not on the internet.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. It's so
which
true.
Is like, it comes up a lot. And it's so it's like, well, part of me is like, God, like, I can't be the only person asking these questions. I'm really grateful that I'm able to put this book out there, because these are like, I'm asking questions about like the intersection of like alcohol and asexuality. And if, you know, I've interviewed asexual people about using alcohol to make themselves like sex. And I didn't think that was such a niche topic, but it was very hard to find data on this and people to interview on this. So, and again, asexual is people that are, don't necessarily engage in sex, don't really have much of an interest in it. So just, you know, that's a small example of I'm doing research. and it's just, it's frustrating because there's not a lot of research out there, but then it's liberating because I'm like, finally, like, I'm going to put something out there.
You know
what I mean?
I was thinking that when you were saying that, I was thinking that what it, you know, it is going to, there's going to be a bunch of people who, you know, when you talk about, when you do, for instance, that interview, that it's going to resonate with out there and are going to be sort of more motivated to continue telling that story or to, you know, try to get some research done to the numbers to, you know, it's by, you're going to be raising a lot of flags that I think other people will be able to grab onto and even run with and certainly to identify with and, you know, say, oh my gosh, I don't feel, I'm not alone. I mean, that was it for me, was being like, you know, when I would read memoirs when I first got sober was, oh, it's not just me. And I'm not alone. And the other point about it too is like, the cool kids get sober. You know what I mean? Like, this goes from, you know, the way I always put it is, you know, before I got sober, I would like sit on a bar stool and say, I'm going to write a book. And then I got sober and I wrote a book, and that, you know, it's the realization of that in making, you know, for you personally, but also for what you're now like planting a flag for other people.
And that's what keeps me going. You know, when I have these moments of, holy shit, this writing a book is really hard. That's what keeps me going is, you know, like I said, 20 something me who didn't know how to go on a date without alcohol, didn't know how to ask for what I wanted in bed without alcohol, didn't, you know, and this isn't just sex, we're like communication. I didn't know how to communicate with partners in the past. I didn't know how to, I didn't even know who I was or what I wanted. So I was not showing up in an authentic way in my relationships. And that is huge to realize, you know. And then, like I said, talking to people that are maybe not sober, but they don't drink much, or they want to drink less, or they do dry months every once in a while, like interviewing people like that and hearing about the role alcohol plays in their relationship, even though they have a healthy relationship with alcohol, is very interesting to me.
It is. I think that's fascinating. And I think it's breaking new ground. It is totally breaking new ground. And I'm so excited about it. So,
well, and you know, like, listeners, the term Quitlet, hashtag Quitlet,
right,
is like, if you look up hashtag Quitlet on Instagram, Twitter, that's like books about drinking, like literature about quitting. So,
and drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Drugs, alcohol, just, yeah, recovery. So, you know, Lisa's book was one of the, not one of the first,
no,
but like,
no,
not one of the first, but like, it came out right before Sober Curious and the non-alcoholic drink scene. Like, your book came out right before all of that happened.
Yes. I mean, it was, the book, I felt like when I was reading all these memoirs voraciously, when I was first getting sober, I was like, where is the story of the woman who didn't lose her job, who didn't, you know, end up in jail, who didn't cr- crash out in some big way, but had like a really awful bottom and, you know, came out of it with a better life. Like that was what I didn't see a woman in corporate America the way I was, you know, with 30 years in big law firms. I didn't see somebody in that world. We didn't talk about it in that world. And also just none of the memoirs hit me that way. And so that was like sort of what I saw as the need on the shelf, right? That was what my agent said, oh, you know, there is a space for this book on the shelf. And I feel like your book not only has a space for it, but it's going to open up a whole next level of it. Not that I'm biased, but I really in an objective way think this is a groundbreaking book that is going to, you know, really just move the whole conversation forward. And that's amazing. How do you celebrate? Like, what do you do, you know, to say, you know, like, fuck yeah, I got here. I'm doing it. I'm going to work my ass off and write the best book I possibly can. It's a ton of work. But how do you take that pause and just celebrate the fact that you've reached this milestone?
You know, that's a great question. And I think I'm good at celebrating milestones. Like I celebrate little things, and I celebrate the actual monumental milestones. Like I bought myself a ridiculously gorgeous sequin onesie when I finished my book proposal.
I remember.
You know,
the best. Yes.
And then, you know, onesie. when I got an agent, I treated myself to something. Like I celebrate these moments.
So important.
It is very important. And it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be take a friend out for ice cream and just talk about this fun feeling, you know, like it can be something that simple, or buying yourself a bunch of sequins, whatever. But you know, I think so for the actual book deal, I got the Publishers Marketplace book deal announcement printed on a t-shirt.
So amazing.
And I tweeted about it and it went a little bit viral. All these other authors were like, oh my God, I want to do this. Like, which I can't take credit for that idea. I've seen other authors put their book deal announcement on shirts, on coffee mugs, like, you know, but there's something about like wearing that shirt while I'm writing the book of like, I'm probably not going to wear it out anywhere.
I would totally wear that shirt. It's subtle enough. Nobody knows.
I don't know.
You know.
Well, yeah. And only like industry people would even know what that is.
That's right.
You know.
And people will ask you and you can tell them.
This I'm like, oh, it's my book deal.
But it's promo.
It's cool. Like it's a cool thing to have on a shirt, you know? So
yeah.
How did you celebrate maybe the book coming out or like the monuments along the way?
Yeah. I mean, when I got my book deal, it's funny because I was so excited. And I did probably what, you know, you should not do, which was start stressing about how I was going to tell my firm. Right. Because it was so exciting to me, but it was like, I had a real be careful what you wish for sort of thing, because I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, because I never expected it. I never expected to get a book deal. You know, I'd been writing for 10 years and it was what I did for myself and for family and friends. And then, you know, when I decided to go for it, I always had this thought in the back of my head of like, well, if this actually happens, I'm going to have to like deal with it. And then it was very much, I felt sort of like, I don't know, I'm going to, you know, this movie was even before me, but it's a classic, The Graduate, when at the end of The Graduate, like they run out of the wedding, like Dustin Hoffman grabs, you know, objects to the wedding and the bride runs off to him and with him and they're all excited and they jump on this bus and she was in the wedding gown because she was going to marry someone else and they sit in the back of the bus and the very last scene is just like the two of them staring into space, like, what now?
You know?
So I had that kind of thing, but I also celebrated. I mean, it is hard because everybody gets very excited for you. And then all of my self-doubt stuff came in. What if it sucks? What if I'm not worthy? Like all of that started. And I just had to stay like really close for me for, you know, in 12-step, I stayed really close to AA.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's, I'm finding myself feeling a little bit more drawn to a spiritual practice right now.
I love that. Yeah.
Because
that, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense to me. Yeah.
I feel overwhelmed sometimes, you know, like I mentioned the imposter syndrome. But it's also like writing a book is fucking hard.
It's hard work. It's very hard work.
It's really hard to do. And it's not just the book. It's like everything I've done to get this actual book deal was really hard. Like writing a proposal is hard. Finding an agent is hard. Talking to editors, getting tons and tons of rejection letters, like all, you know, all of these things that I had to push through.
Yeah.
To get the actual book deal is like, it's a lot emotionally and physically, you know, it takes a lot out of you.
Absolutely. And at the same time, the rest of your life is going on.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like you've had major stuff going on over the years that you've been working on this.
Totally. I mean, it's, I really got serious about the book deal during the pandemic. And that was obviously, it still is a very difficult time, but early pandemic was very confusing. But for me, I channeled that confusion and angst into my writing. I wanted to do something to just kind of get away from the news, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also like this, sometimes when a friend texts me, how's the book coming along? Like, that's such a loaded question of like,
I know,
you know, I want to say like, 1 minute I can send you like the nicest text back. And then the next minute I'd want to throw my phone against the wall. It just depends on how my writing was going that day.
I know. It's so true. Like I got a lot of people because I wrote, you know, in the mornings, like I said, over 10 years before I went to work. And I would have people being like, you're still writing? You're still working on that thing? You know, it would be like 8 years later, you know, really? Yeah. You're still writing? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But it is what, you know, it is sort of what calls you, you know, like during the pandemic, doing the book proposal was what called you.
Yeah.
It was something that, and you have to feel it inside. Like it has to be, you know, I mean, I know we've said this before, but a lot of people want to have written a book.
Not a lot
of people want to write a book because, you know, it's not not everybody enjoys the writing. I love every minute of writing.
You know, and I will say I'm finding that I for the most part, I'm enjoying the book writing process.
Yeah.
I'm finding that I prefer one large project as opposed to juggling a bunch of freelance projects.
Yes, which you were doing the whole time you were trying to get to this point because you had to keep building your credentials.
Well, exactly. So like everything I talked about, like getting finishing a proposal, getting an agent, dealing with a bunch of rejection letters, I was also still working a day job, still working on, you know, still collecting bylines to prove my credibility on the subject. Like still boosting my platform, you know, like boosting social media. It is. And I'm still doing all of that. I still have the day job. I still have, you know, all of these things on top of writing the book. So, I this could actually be a great transition into the music minute, Lisa.
Yes.
I talked to my agent this morning and I was like, I'm feeling a little blocked since I've turned in the first half of my book. Like what do you have any tips? Like I'm just struggling. I can't make myself write right now. And he was like, just, you know, take a minute, relax and, you know, do some things that inspire you to write. And so after I chatted with him, put in my headphones. I went for a walk and I listened to Jim Morrison. he is my North Star.
I don't want to call him. Anthony Kiedis is my sober shaman, and you can't call Jim Morrison that, but Jim Morrison is like your spirit animal.
I mean, he really was a shaman. Like, he was very into, so that would work. See, I walked around and I listened to An American Prayer, his poetry album. And, you know, like, I do feel a bit of imposter syndrome in the literary world just because I haven't read a ton of classical literature. My literary heroes are Jim Morrison and Mick Jagger and Lou Reed and Bob Dylan.
Right.
And like my agent, Eric, he was telling me about, you know, revisiting the books that he revisits to seek inspiration. And so my version of that is, you know, I have a playlist of my favorite songs because of the lyrics mean so much to me. And so that's what I did this morning to try and, you know, get inspired.
Yeah. I love that. I had a playlist also that it was sort of my workout and writing inspiration playlist over the years. And so what it had on it was songs that I really loved, you know, to get me going when I was running or whatever, but also songs that could take me to a place that I was writing about, right? So like if I was writing about what I was, you know, back when I was practicing, and you know, the music we were listening to then was all like, you know, Talking Heads and the Stones and, you know, a lot of like 10,000 Maniacs and REM and that kind of stuff, right? And it would help me put, like, I have very specific memories identified with certain songs. And so it helped me re-engage myself in a scene to listen to a music. Mm. Like, if I listen to the Talking Heads, And She Was a big one. And anything like Little Creatures can take me back to, you know, what was going on, not, you know, at that time in my life. And that I found was really, and I find it comforting still. I still listen to that, you know, soundtrack when I take my long walks around here.
I love that because that's something that I've been doing when I'm, you know, trying to put myself back in the headspace of like, who was Party Girl Tawny? Who is the
right? That's, you know, I'm like, what I did. Yeah,
I feel so disconnected from her for obvious reasons. But I'm like, I have to write about some of my drunken relationships and my behaviors when I was drinking. And my writing isn't very much. I don't write about the past very much. I usually write about like sobriety and, you know, I write about the benefits of sobriety. I don't like to revisit the past too much, which is one of the many reasons I didn't do memoir.
Yeah.
But I have to give a little bit of show my credibility for this book of like, I used to be this party girl.
Right.
So, you know, when I'm writing those parts, I'm listening to like Kesha and early Miley Cyrus. That's what I was listening to when I was, you know, doing body shots on the bar, dancing on bar on top of the bar. Like I was singing along to Kesha. So listening to that album really helps me get back. I was like, oh yeah, when this song.
That doesn't do that. It's visceral, right? It really is. Oh boy.
Yeah. And I will say Kesha's first album has aged very well.
I love that album.
It's so fun.
I actually listened to that album too, and I was way too, you know, past it at that point, but it is so fun. So.
It's a really, like, it's a fun album. I love that the music reminder because.
Yes.
We've done an episode on this, how we sometimes stop listening to music because we're so in the news and podcasts and audiobooks and stuff. But like, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, music. I can listen to music. I don't have to be learning something or getting caught up on current events. I can actually just like enjoy a song. Yes.
And it will actually get you closer to where you want to be. Like you have to let those like, you know, synapses fire and bring it back.
Have you listened to the new Harry Styles album?
I love it. I just put it on like last week. Do you love it?
It's so good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I hadn't heard it like right away. I just put it on. I think it was last week. And yeah, I need to listen to it. I need to keep listening to it, but it's terrific. We love him.
We love Harry. Maybe we'll have him on the podcast sometime.
That would be good. That would be good. But we hope not, because he has some terrible crash out and now he's getting sober.
Yeah, let's hope he just stays like pretty. He seems pretty level-headed.
That's right. We'll keep him there. We'll keep him there. Well, all right. You have to keep updating us.
I will be talking about it often because it comes out next September. So you guys are going to be listening to it for a while.
Giant congratulations to my queen, Tawny. And you guys, we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.